This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Highlights the point that Muslims, when they took cities, they flourished.
Yeah.
They started, city of Jerash, for example. Mm-hmm. Jerash in Jordan. Okay, it was a Greek city, then it became a Roman settlement, and then it became a Christian settlement, and then the Muslims, the Umayyads, established their center in Jerash. It's still there.
Okay.
Archaeologists have studied that in the Muslim period, the economy of the city boomed. It exploded, you know. People became very prosperous, and this is, we're talking about Jews and Christians and Muslims.
Yeah.
And Muslims were the minority, by the way. Muslims were the minority, ruling class. They were only ruling, and the masses were Christians mostly, right? And they became prosperous after Muslims had taken these cities. So the claims of devastation you hear from Islamophobes or Islam haters, such as Robert Spencer and people like that, who's teaching the American military amazingly, you know, these are all lies. Muslim civilization does not begin in 2011 when ISIS comes to rise. Okay, Islamic civilization started in the 6th century with the advent of the Prophet and the Quran. Okay, the Quran was revealed, it did something to the Arabs, and they came out and they created the Islamic civilization.
Yeah, but with all due respect to the Arabs, I mean, the way I look at it, they believe in all sort of different demigods.
No.
So for them,
we're talking about Muslim Arabs when they became Muslims.
Yeah, but how they became Muslims, say for example, I mean, for them, okay, someone's coming to the store, okay, instead of that God, we'll just believe in this God. No big deal. I mean,
I think it was as simple as that, because they actually explained why they believe in this God.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you read some of the sentiments?
First of all, now for those people to be believing in some other form of demigod or whatever.
No, there's no demigod they believe in.
Or, you know, some idol worshipping or whatever the Arabs used to do at that point of time, because they were all idol worshippers.
So not all.
Well, most of them anyway. Well, so for them, I mean, if it was very simple for them to stay believing some idol as a god, it won't need great sort of cognitive things. Is them believing.
So why did they fight Muhammad?
What?
Why did they fight Muhammad? Why did they try to kill him for 20 years?
Because he was upsetting them, I suppose.
Upsetting them?
Yeah.
Why?
Because something to do with that.
So if it was only the matter of believing in one idol or the other idol.
No, they didn't try to kill him. His uncle was protecting him.
We're having a discussion now.
It was something to do with trade and everything, because if everyone didn't come to Mecca, if they got rid of the idols, they would have trade or something.
No, that's a theory. That's a theory. But why would they come out of Mecca to attack Medina?
I don't know.
Hey?
Why did they come out of Mecca to attack Medina?
Because they saw him, perceived him as a threat.
Threat to what?
He was
politically insignificant.
Yeah,
he was so weak that they besieged him.
Obviously, they did perceive him as a threat, otherwise they wouldn't have bothered, would they?
Why? What was the threat?
I'm not a historian, but...
The new faith did pose not only a religious, political, or economic threat, it posed... An existential threat to them, right?
Yeah, because, say for example, if I was head of a tribe, I believe in God, this God, I had power. Now, if someone else is saying, you come across and say, no, I'm the prophet, and all these should just believe in me, then so, I lose my power. So I'm going to go against
If you believed in something, let's say... If you don't have a firm belief in something, you just change one bicycle to another bicycle.
No, but they
one
tend car to follow their car. Tribal leader, don't they?
Okay. So they would fight and die for the tribal leader.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they used to do at the time, remember?
Right. Okay. So they would simply go out and fight the Romans and the Persians just because they love the tribal leader.
Well, I mean, people still do it. They join the military.
No, they don't. They don't.
Of course they do. I mean, you look at...
And they die of depression. You know the American army?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those who've been to Iraq?
Yeah.
You know the suicide rate?
Yeah.
Okay, so why were Muhammad's companions not committing suicide?
Yeah.
If you know why these people are committing suicide? Because they don't know why they're there.
Yeah.
They don't know why they have to kill children and women and bomb civilian areas. They don't know. But Muhammad's companions did no such thing. They believed that they were fighting for a just cause, and they established peace and justice in the land. And that's why they were so happy. And that's why they kept going as far as southern France and northern China and down India, in Sindh. Okay, within Muhammad died, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in 632. 732. exactly a century later.
So, same reason as the Christian Crusaders went across and
looted Jerusalem, I suppose.
No. Was there faith in there?
No.
So you're trying to make the same analogy
there? The Crusaders
barbecued Muslim because they were hungry and dogs. Muslim didn't do that. That's the difference.
Well, that's Marathon Oman. Yeah, Marathon Oman. It's one incident where the Crusaders they cooked people and ate them.
Exactly.
Yeah? Muslims didn't do anything
didn't
like
do that.
Yeah. But Muslims had principles.
Yeah.
They could not go and cause indiscriminate destruction. Okay. Amazingly, even archaeology highlights the point that Muslims, when they took cities, they flourished.
Yeah.
They started city of Jerash, for example. Mm-hmm. Jerash in Jordan. Okay, it was a Greek city. Then it became a Roman settlement, and then it became a Christian settlement, and then the Muslims, the Umayyads, established their center in Jerash. It's still there.
Okay.
Archaeologists have studied that in the Muslim period, the economy of the city boomed. It exploded. You know, people became very prosperous, and this is, we're talking about Jews and Christians and Muslims.
Yeah.
Okay. And Muslims were the minority, by the way. Muslims were the minority, ruling class. They were only ruling, and the masses were Christians mostly, right? And they became prosperous after Muslims had taken these cities. So the claims of devastation you hear from Islamophobes or Islam haters such as Robert Spencer and people like that who's teaching the American military amazingly, you know, these are all lies. So the bottom line is, when you study history objectively, you come to realize that there is a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people don't understand.
But I'm sure.
And they make assumptions.
There'll be other historians who'll be looking at it from a different perspective.
Bring them over.
I'd have to look it up. I'm not going into the history.
It depends what you want. Do you want objectivity or you want accountability to my view?
We want the truth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So for that, you go and study academics.
Yeah.
Okay. What academics are telling us, that when Muslims took these settlements, they flourished.
Mm-hmm.
We do not see any signs of devastation in archaeology.
Yeah. Yeah.
In archaeology, we do not see signs of devastation. We do not see signs of devastation.
Yeah.
Okay, in Spain, in the Middle East, and in Central Asia.
Yeah.
When Muslims went into Central Asia. Because I'll tell you why I know these things. One of my teachers from SOAS, from School of Oriental and African Studies, is Hugh Kennedy. And he has conducted archaeological work in Central Asia. And one of his students, her name is Fanny Bassard. She is French. She's a French archaeologist. She did archaeology in Jerash.
Yeah.
Okay. And both concluded that after the Muslims took these cities, these settlements, they flourished economically. And people prospered. And they can tell from different sides. You know, they have different ways of assessing pottery and how buildings were constructed and how people lived. And their food, from the food, they can tell whether they were happy or not, you know, the quality of the food. Yes, archaeologists, they conduct very delicate work and they come up with these conclusions.
So
archaeology is in archaeology.